Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
New afternoon show. How long are we going to say new for?
It's like a Happy New Year?
Yeah. How long? Week? 2 weeks?
I would give it the rest of this week.
Rest of this
week? Yeah, 1 week. And then it's time to grow up.
Yeah. I agree.
And then when does it become old? As we close in on Ike's 10 years, we'll have a countdown. We'll have a calendar on the wall. New afternoon show. I'm Spike Eskin along with Ike Reese and Jack Fritz. Coming up in moments, you will hear Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni do their pre-draft press conference. The Twitter poll is our question of the day. It's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. What would your reaction be if the Eagles take a guard with the 22nd pick? The two options are happy or annoyed. Ike, what is your guess?
Annoyed. Well, mine would be annoyed.
Right. What do you think percentage-wise we are?
I would say annoyed at about, let's go 58-42.
You know this pretty well. 55% annoyed, 44% happy. We're close to 50-50. I mean, it's a good topic.
It's good to see this team get better, the city get back to its roots.
Yes.
Yeah, defense, baby. Defense.
Well, you were winning by 5%.
Well, it's a win.
Yeah.
Well, and a win's a win.
You have to realize a lot of people will look at it and be like, well, I know they picked Lyman well, so why don't you just take a Lyman? It's a safe pick.
Yes.
It'll be a good pick.
Safe and good.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm not going to be like, oh, what a terrible, I'm not going to go overboard about the pick. I just believe it's a safe pick. And you don't have to be safe there with that position.
I wish they had gone safe when they took Marcus Smith. That's all. I wish they had gone with the safe pick.
I'll be picketing outside the NovaCare. It's such a waste of time.
Sign man too.
Yeah,
bring
yeah.
Walk out there with
exactly
you.
Exactly right.
Have him play guard.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Elliot Shore Parks will join us moments after the press conference as well. It's going to be hard for me to talk to him about what Howie and Nick said because I just have a line of things I've wanted to fight with Elliot about over the last several months. So we'll see if we can actually get to that. I have a checklist that we're going to have to do every day when he's here.
Well, believe me, you'll get through it.
Yeah, I'm
believe
sure.
Believe me, because every time you talk to him, something else will come up.
Something else comes up. Well, we'll get to it in a second. Tom in Vancouver, you're on WIP.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to hear you, Spike, going at it. It's going to be so much fun to hear.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I'm totally delighted. I went out of my way to make sure I could call you up. And then you come up with, you've got Elliot or, sometimes Jack coming up with these sort of crazy ideas, and then you come up with the guard one.
That's a crazy idea, being a good player on the offensive line? Sorry. I didn't say take a kicker.
That would really be a
yeah. Yeah, I didn't say take a kicker. What's crazy about it?
Well, the crazy thing is that we need a guy who's a tackle, someone who's a tackle who could then play guard while we're waiting for Lane Johnson to get injured again. Someone like that, like a Brandon Coleman type, I can see that one being sort of acceptable. But if it's a pure guard, then I'm not into that. But someone who's a tackle who could play guard, I'm all for that one.
Well, that's a fair point. I think on some level, what I want to do is make sure there's depth so we don't have to hit on everything. There's a lot riding on Cam Jurgens actually being the center,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the story's nice. The Kelsey part of it's nice, and he's worked with Stoutland, all of it's nice. But that is a big if. Thank you for the call there. I would not be against drafting a tackle and having him play guard.
Well, I'll tell you, if they were to do that, I think it says more about what they think about the kid they drafted last year.
Right, Steen.
Steen, yeah. And we keep saying it was a second-round pick. I think he was a top of the third-round pick or either a compensatory pick. It was the 65th pick in the draft. So that seems like the first pick in the second round, right? I mean, the third round. Was 32 teams.
I'm not barely even.
Was 32
here,
teams?
What am I doing? I just got
64 picks. He was the 65th pick.
You're
was,
the football guy. Everybody says he's the baseball guy. I'm the basketball guy. You're the football guy.
I don't know what's the thing. It's compensatory picks is what I don't keep a track of.
All right. Okay. Not a cap guy. Not a compensatory pick guy.
I'll keep track of those.
Offensive line. Are you really a foot? Did you play football?
Well, I've advanced.
Okay. All right.
Advanced.
All right.
Either way, he's either a high third round pick or a late second round pick.
Okay.
He's one of those two.
Sure, sure, sure.
And it would say that they're at the 1 year, they've already decided he won't be they can't turn him into a starter. Because usually you draft guards in the third round or down because you believe
they can
you
play
have
right
the ability
away.
You can coach them into being in that position. So if they were to do that, that is speaking. It would speak volumes about what they did last year at the position.
So we have Howie and Nick Sirianni coming up in moments. They had the DeVonta Smith press conference earlier, so we are waiting. It's supposed to start at 2:30. It'll happen
Pockets
shortly.
Pockets heavy.
Yeah, well, hold on. Welcome to doing these press conferences.
Oh, yeah, never
so
on
it
time,
could be
Robbie.
It could be an hour from now.
For sure. We have no idea, frankly, when they're going to step to the stage.
Really?
Yeah, I can't That's wait to hear what are Nick's big draft plans? they're going to let him in the room?
I was going to say, is he watching it at home? We should have him over here. He should hang out with us.
He should come to the draft party.
Yeah, come on, CEO. We'll have a special chair for you.
Just turn on Netflix. No tape.
Y'all wrong, man.
Nick's going to be watching The Office. Taking notes, Michael Scott notes on how to be the boss. Oh, man.
Please don't have a shot of the draft war room with him looking like he's detached from everybody else.
He's playing Angry Birds on his cell phone. 215-592-9494. Andy and Chad's Ford. You're on WIP.
Thanks, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
What's up, Andy?
Good stuff, man. Well, a couple things. Definitely want to vote for defense here. Appreciate your take, Spike, but, I think we need to solidify the defense. Pretty terrible right now.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to solidify the defense with the 22nd pick in the draft?
Well, I actually agree with the previous callers, and you got 3 in the 53. We should pretty much go for almost all of it.
Well, that's I'm using a quarterback from.
And that was me who said that, Andy.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
But I wanted to welcome to the show. And
thanks, man.
I heard a couple weeks ago when you were down there. Yeah, you're talking about getting in fights, and actually Andy Boyle, who
he punched me
you in the face,
yeah.
at Episcopal. So
yeah.
I apologize for that.
Wait, that's you?
Hold on, that's you?
Yes.
Oh, boy, we can't have the tell the pause the press conference.
Hold up.
See, now you know. All right, so now everyone who's Andy, hang on one second. Now everyone knows when I tell a story, it is a real story.
Wow.
So Andy. Can I, first of all, Andy and I were friends, we were buddies, and then...
You sound it.
And then you punched me. But if I remember correctly, there was, you were very irritated that day. I can't remember why. There was another kid we went to school with named Josh Saul. I think Josh was also annoying you that day. And you punched me. He not only punched me in the face, but was right in front of the disciplinarian's office, in Mr. Lee's office.
Oh, that's when they really want to get after
right
you.
In the
they don't even care. Yeah, it was enough to fight you in front of the principal.
I think I broke my hand on your face, actually.
that's not possible.
Wow.
Dude, I have Iron Dome here. Right here. That's what they call
it. Many people say that. Is that your band name?
Wow, how are you, man? Are you good?
Yeah, doing great. Living out here in Chad's Ford now. Got a couple kids. Wife and all that.
Are you still punching people in the face?
Hold on. Yeah, I've
calmed down a lot.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on, Andy. No, we need background on this. How this altercation happened? So give us a quick blow by blow of how this happened.
Well, there wasn't a lot of blows, anyway.
Yeah, it was Andy's fist hitting my face and my face hitting the ground were the two blows.
I recall it. We were in the library.
Yep.
I do remember somebody else might have been picking on me. I remember, I was playing football, wasn't very good, locker room stuff. And I kind of remember somebody threw a piece of paper at me. I may have thrown a dictionary back. And then I think I just attacked you because back then, I had to hit first. That was the way I saw things.
All right, Andy. We got to go to the press conference, but we'll get your number.
I'm
going to call you. Thank you. What a call. Here it is, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni talking draft from the NovaCare facility.
like they do it on the
in the streets in your city.
Yeah, but they also do it on the scoreboard of like baseball games.
Oh, sorry. We're live. Like this is being broadcast on like live. Is this being? Oh, okay. Yes, it is being broadcast. PhiladelphiaEagles.com, best website around. All right.
How you guys have locked up a lot of your young offensive players, a lot of like basically all of them. With that being said, going into the draft, do you feel a need to prioritize that side of the ball?
I think we got to be really. Oh, okay. I was intrigued by the question. Yeah, I think what we try to do to the best of our abilities is go into the draft, trying to fill as many needs as we possibly can through free agency, so that we can be open to the best players in the draft.
Hey, well, you know, following up on that, Nick, what does that do for you when you know that these guys are going to be together for the next at least 3 years, most of your offense? What does that do for the offensive coaches?
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I think it's exciting as not only offensive coaches, but also just the culture of our football team, that these guys like are going to continue to grow as football players, grow as leaders, grow in culture with our as a team. And so that's really, really exciting. And you know what? It's like it's exciting for the football team, but gosh, when you're a coach and one of your players, you know, gets that the big extension like that, it's really an unbelievable feeling. You know, I think when I first got here, like kind of went through that. Some of the indie players when I left were starting to get paid, and you're like, oh man, it was tough not to be around for that. And now I'm being able to experience that here with the Eagles. It's really a special thing because it changes these guys' lives forever, and their families' lives, and their kids, and their grandkids. Like, what an unbelievable thing! And just so happy for our guys that have done that. And so it's like, yeah, it's really important. And you're just, and as far as all those things I talked about, and then also, you know, just an awesome experience to be able to have with these guys.
Now, in the last six drafts, you've only drafted three cornerbacks, and none of them higher than the fourth round. And any draft that you've overseen, there's only been one that's been drafted in the second round. Why do you hate cornerbacks? No, I'm only kidding.
Hate.
You found alternative ways to kind of fill the position with varying degrees of success. What how do you view that position and how you've evaluated it, and what have you learned from past mistakes and successes?
Yeah, I think that obviously corners are a huge part of playing defense in the National Football League right now. We always talk about affecting the passing game, and just like on offense, we talk about the offensive line and having skill guys. We talk about the defensive line and having guys who can cover on the outside, on the inside, and how much that helps you. You know, obviously, 2 years ago, I think we were number two in pass defense, and we had two guys who won. I was a second team.
Number one.
We were number one. Thank you, Ruben. And we had Slay made the Pro Bowl, and James was a second team All Pro. You know, and I think that that just goes to show, you know, how important that is to playing good defense. So always, I've felt that's a priority. Obviously, when you give those numbers, those are compelling. You know, we found different ways, and really going back to me being here, and even as a personnel director, we have signed some Pro Bowl caliber corners or traded for Pro Bowl caliber corners. So we've kind of probably done it a different way, but yeah, you're right. Obviously, those numbers are what they are.
When you have your target,
did I answer that, Jeff? Was there a second part of that?
Just in terms of like, you've had, some of them, I guess they're all different in terms of when they haven't panned out. Has there been a unifying theme in terms of when you looked at that position and maybe how you can look at it differently in terms of having success drafting at it?
Yeah, and some of those second day guys maybe had more success after they left here than they did here as well. So I think going back and looking at the things that you've missed on is important. And we've certainly done that at the cornerback position.
Howie, when you look at this turnover at the defensive coordinator spot here, how do you balance wanting to get players that might fit a scheme or a system versus realization that these players might not last on coaches?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously have a lot of faith in our coaches, and everything we're doing here is to do something not only for the short term but the long term. And, you know, with Coach Fangio taking over our defense, his influence has been on our previous defense coordinators as well, so it's not like we're starting from scratch. And so I think it's important that we're not bringing in players who just that we like, but also kind of fit what we're trying to do defensively. And so, you know, Coach Sirianni does a great job of having that interaction on a continuous basis between us and the coaches. And, obviously we talk all the time, and it's just important, you know, if you bring in a really good player who doesn't fit what you're trying to do offensively or defensively, it just may not work. And, just because somebody's having a lot of success somewhere else in a particular scheme or system doesn't mean that the flip side would also work here.
However, whenever you have as many contract extensions as you do, what goes into the risk assessment of having that many? What risks are you accepting in those?
Well, I think first, a tremendous amount of credit goes to Jeffrey Lurie, you know, and allowing us to be aggressive and do these contracts early. And really, when you're able to do that and able to be in a position to lock down the caliber of players that we think we've locked down over the last couple of weeks, it really gives you tremendous flexibility as you build your team going forward. You know, it's a great success story for us to be able to draft guys and sign them to extensions. I think it's a great message to our team that if you come here and you do the right thing, you don't have to leave. And obviously, unfortunately, we've lost two players, two of the greatest Eagles in the history of our franchise who've retired, but they played with one franchise. We, you know, we're very optimistic that we'll have two of those other guys who will end up doing that. And so I think that's legacy, you know, to have be able to have players that are able to do that. And when other players see that, I think that's a big part in building culture. So I think that's important, and that starts with Jeffrey, because if we didn't have somebody who was willing to do that and to allow us to sign guys early, and when you sign guys early, you know, you're obviously hoping that the player's going to get a really good deal, because, you know, obviously you want to work for both sides, and that we're able to spread out the cap hits and be able to get other players. And so by doing these deals early, we're hopeful that, you know, we believe in the players we're doing it with, and we're hopeful that it'll allow us to continue to add to our team. But it all starts with Jeffrey.
When you talk about a prospect ceiling and the player development that goes into that, are there positions where you find that is more likely to happen, and positions where you maybe want more of a finished product?
Yeah, and Bo, I'm probably repeating something I've said before, and I guess that happens when we've been together for a long time. But, you know, this is the only profession, and I don't know any other profession because this is the only job I've ever had, but this is the only profession where you take someone out of college and you expect them to be great. And if they're not great, you criticize them for not being great. And we believe strongly that we have to develop these players, that they come in here with a skill set, but they're unfinished products, and that we have a great coaching staff, we have great player development staff, and we have great support staff to help develop these guys. And so, you know, we know that all of them, like all of us, are going to have things they need to work on. And one of the reasons that we do these top 30 visits is to get a head start on that. So we're kind of hitting the ground running if we draft any of these guys. But I think that's the first thing. It's kind of here are the strengths, here are the weaknesses, how we can help them with the weaknesses, whether they're on the field, whether they're off the field, how we can support these people so they can reach their potential. Because a lot of these guys are 21, 22, some a little bit older in this draft, probably the last draft like that. But still, you know, all of us, 23, 24, aren't the same people we are as we get older. And so we want to make sure that these guys have the right tools in the body, they have the right intangibles, that they have the right willingness to be coached, to be taught, to work, to be great. And if they have those things and we see the talent and we see the work ethic, then we think that's probably a fit.
A history of having succession plans in place along the offensive line, Lane's 34. How do you weigh, you know, using an early pick on a guy that you want to be able to play early and versus having him sit behind a guy like Lane, especially with the positional importance of offensive tackle?
Yeah, sure. When you look at Lane Johnson, you're talking about one of the best players in the league. You know, one of the best people, one of the best players in the league. Incredibly fortunate to have him and the level that he plays at. And really, you know, I can't speak for Coach, but I know just from speaking to him enough, the the confidence going into a game with him being able to be our right tackle and one of the captains on this team. And so you don't ever replace that. You don't replace that in 3 years. You don't replace that in 5 years. I mean, he's a generational. And so just like we talked about with Kelsey, with Fletch, like you don't ever replace those guys. Those guys are irreplaceable. But when you talk about position importance, you know, the O-line across the board has always been a huge importance to us. And it hasn't only been about the five guys. It's been about having depth up front. And certainly when you look at it, we've lost a couple of guys. We've signed here a couple of guys in free agency. May not even be a couple, but we have some guys also we signed as futures that we consider kind of, you know, guys we signed in the offseason, and we have some young guys that we like. But, you know, it's an important position to us. And so we're looking at it just in terms of numbers about not only where we are now, but also going forward. I think also when you look at having guys, and let's just use Fletch and Jason as an example, I don't think I ever talked this long during questions. I'm doing good.
Nice chew on the clock.
Thank you.
Okay. Enough.
I think that when you look at that, like you have two options, right? You can kind of tell people stories about work ethic and how guys played and how they led, or you can have them watch that. And so for us, when we draft the Cam, we're still always trying to recruit Jason to keep playing for as long as he felt comfortable playing. But at the same time, having him be able to study how Jason practices, how Jason leads, how Jason takes notes, instead of saying, man, Cam, you know, you should have seen how Jason Kelsey led, how he practiced, how he takes notes. Like, we think that gives him the best potential to reach, you know, the ability that he can do, and the same for Jordan and Jalen. So there's benefits to that. You know, in the short term, you could say, well, you know, like Cam sat for a year, really. And so maybe you could have gotten some bigger bang for your buck with that second round pick in the short term. But we think over the long term, and we're trying to do things that are the best for this team over the long term, that it makes sense for these guys to be around these great players.
No, this is our first time talking to you since the Hassan Reddick trade.
That was a good answer.
Thank you.
First time talking to you since the Hassan Reddick trade. I guess, what went into the decision to move on from a player that's still reasonably in their prime, and how hard will it be to make up for that production?
Great player. You know, Hassan had a great 2 years in Philadelphia, obviously. You know, Camden kid, played at Temple. Couldn't have been more excited to sign him. So it's bittersweet to lose a player and a person like that. You know, as the offseason went along and we added Bryce, who we're incredibly excited about, brought back Josh, drafted Nolan Smith in the first round. BG came back. We have some young guys at that position who we're excited to develop. You know, and through the conversations with the Jets, we felt like it was a win-win situation, but always hard to get rid of players and people like Hassan.
Nick, you and the coaches kind of come into this process later. What have you learned now that you've been here for a number of years to kind of get your sort of opinion of what types of players you want?
Yeah, I think what you learned out of this is like how much work goes into, before we even step in as coaches, there's been so much work, you know, so many different grades, you know, that from different scouts area, like so much work on all the detail that goes into the player, you know, and Howie's got a lot of things to listen to and then have to make a decision on at the end of the day. And so I admire that, of how much work goes into it and how much information Howie has to get and then have to make a good decision from that. It's an amazing process. It makes you think so much of, you know, how a team works, you know, in season and how and everything that goes into getting ready for a game on Sunday. It's quite remarkable there. As far as the type of player, I think you were really asking, you know, I think at the end of the day, it first comes down to, you know, everyone has to have talent to get into the door, right? I mean, you can't be the best person in the world, have no talent, you know, like, but it starts with talent. And that starts from, you know, you watching the tape, you know, seeing all the times and all the different things. And then it goes into the, you know, I think at the end of the day, we tried to make it really simple as far as, is the guy tough? Does he love football? and is he high, have high football IQ? And you know, we get all the information on the character on the from the scouts, but that's what we're always trying to figure out as coaches: is are they tough? Do they love football? And do they have high football IQ? Because in my experience, and with around good players, those are the guys that you can't go to the game without. Like, man, the guys that have those three qualities, you can't go to the game without them. You feel like, you know, they're constantly succeeding, and they have the ability, you know, God willing, to reach their ceiling, those types of players right there.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nick, if I can ask you a follow-up to the question Jimmy asked. It's Howie's job to think long-term. It's your job to think about the next game, so to speak. What's your tolerance to someone who might need to sit a year?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we have to do, you know, it is. It's. I always got to think about how we win the next game, but you know, and how we win. You know, that's how a coach is built, and I think Howie's trying to win the next game too, right? But we're also
damn right.
But you're also thinking about the long term success of it, like. I think the way he's explained that perfectly, in the sense of like a great way to teach a player, like how do we teach players things that we want them to learn in football? Well, we let them study the greats. Like, okay, for instance, if we want to teach a receiver a route that looks a certain way, you know, we take out a tape that here are all the best comeback routes that we've ever seen versus all these different looks. Here, take a look. Bop, 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 bop. Man, can you imagine, like, if he, like, let's say we had a, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it. This is the first name that came in my mind. I must be old. Chris Carter. Like, can you imagine this comeback route that Chris Carter is running right here? Can you imagine just being able to sit with him and talk to him about, well, Cam had that for the last, you know, 2 years, right? And Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter were able to sit there with Fletch and pick his brain. Like, what an unbelievable opportunity that may not show itself right at the immediate, you know, right in the immediate future, but it's going to show itself later down the line. And with Cam, he had versatility where he could play multiple spots and not only contribute to a team, but also learn from Jason, right? Just 1 year he was backing up and 1 year he was playing next to him. So, yeah, you're always thinking about how you win the next game, but like winning the game is not just with the players that are the depth in the NFL is a real thing that has to be accounted for, because it's such a long season, so demanding on the guys' bodies. Everybody that makes this team is going to contribute to this team, and then just what Howie was explaining is just the extra for it.
I just want to add to that. I thought that was a great answer, and are any of your own receivers get to learn from freaking AJ and Devontae, which is freaking special too. Yeah. But I would say that Nick's point was the right point, which is like, this isn't like another sport where we're sending them down to the minor leagues. You know, these guys are on the roster. We're expecting everyone to contribute on our team. I mean, you guys know this, you know, when we won our Super Bowl, we won with a backup left tackle, you know, like that had to go play. You know, we won with kind of an undrafted free agent who was making big plays in the Super Bowl. We won, you know, without a bunch of our captains on defense. Jordan Hicks didn't play in that game, and Chris Maragos, our best special teamer, and obviously our quarterback didn't play in that game. So, like, we don't go and say, hey, we're redshirting guys, you know, even when we drafted Cam. And so we're drafting these guys not with the intention like these guys are never going to play. And obviously, like, if you have a great starting lineup and they don't play, well, that must mean that there's good things happening too. But we're not sitting there going, hey, we don't expect any contributions. We still have to build depth on this team. We are still going to need players that aren't in the starting lineup on day one that are going to have to contribute for us to get where we want to go.
What's your favorite part of this time of year, and how much do you get into the –
the trading part of it. You've obviously made tons of trades. And
I like the trades. I like the trades. I do. You know, this is fun. You know, I think that from my perspective, the ability for us to really put our imprint on the football team, to be able to bring guys in, we're not going to lose any games, so certainly that's not going to spoil the party for us. I think it's just it's a great time of year to see our scouts, our football ops, our coaches, our whole building really come together. I think it really builds the culture that we're trying to do off the field for all of us to come together and have this period and process that we go, because a lot of people are part of this. And, you know, we start that after the draft talking about all the people, because that's all the people that come together to do this in every department when guys come in here, when we have the visits to get us the information. So I think it's just a very special time of year. It's a lot of fun. I like talking to the other teams in the league and trying to figure out if there are opportunities to work together. I like doing that. I love picking players. I love calling those guys. And then when you have days like today, and we've had a couple of times, and you draft guys, and then you see them come in with their family, and you see how much their life's going to change, you know, Smitty will maybe buy dinner or something. It doesn't seem like he's got grand plans for that money. But I think that just seeing that, and like Coach said, just knowing that, like, you know, we had some small part of the legacy that he's going to put on this city, and selecting him, and just thinking about the moment where we make that pick, or we make that trade in Smitty's case, or, you know, Landon and him falling to the second round, or Jordan and that process, just to name a few guys. I mean, it's special. It's kind of one of the reasons, obviously, we do this to win championships. You know, that's our first thing, but to also just have legacy and to have good people, and I'm proud of that. I'm going to go around. I'm trying to be orderly.
To follow up on Hassan, you referred to it as bittersweet and a win-win. What do you think the upside is for trading Hassan for the conditional pick a couple of years down the line?
Well, the pick's not conditional. We're getting a pick, so I don't really think I understand the question.
It's a third round from a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you think the upside is for trading Hassan with a year left in his deal in his prime for the pick that you've got?
Well, I think you're asking a question in a vacuum without all the other factors. So, I mean, if we want to talk about all the factors that go into building the team and the resources that we put into each position, we can do that. But I don't think the question's really fair and accurately describes the transaction.
Now, when you look at the position that when you guys are at the clock, when it comes to balancing a guy's talent versus their potential injury risk, or they had several injuries in the past, how do you guys balance that and process that and go forth with your decision?
So balance the durability issues with,
they could potentially have as well too.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of the groups that are a big part of this, and our performance staff, our training staff, and our doctors are a huge part of this process, and we're not experts in that field, and so we take their guidance on that. We put a grade based on what we think the player is going to be, not only this year, like we talked about here with Bo, but what the player is going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line when we develop them at really the best of their abilities. And then we come in and we meet with the doctors and we talk about their ability to play through it. You know, durability is a huge part of this game. Having guys on the field is a huge part of how we have success. And so that is a huge part of it. And that's a factor at the end of the day. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're looking at a player, you love a player, but there's concern about, you know, being able to get into the second contract. And so you got to weigh that and where you're willing to take the guy versus maybe a guy at the same level at a different position or maybe a click below, but the guy hasn't missed a game and you feel really confident. So I think that's all the information that goes into weighing these decisions.
What is Stoutland like during a pre-draft process when he gets hot on a prospect? I don't know if there's any, like, stories that go along with that, but and the general benefit of having him in the building.
Yeah, you know, Stout's like, we've been together for so long. He's like a family member, you know. It's like, I feel like if you just came in and you didn't know and you saw you saw some of the discussions, you'd be like, it would be like, whoa, what's going on here? And it's all because of passion. You know, he's incredibly passionate about what he does, and the people in his room, and obviously we've been really successful with those guys, not perfect, but successful with those. And us, you know, going through this process, we're passionate about it. I think that one of the things that has really worked well is we kind of see players the same way, you know, and that doesn't mean there aren't differences of opinion, but we see them, we work through it together. When he's passionate about a guy, you know, a lot of times we're passionate about a guy, you know, but, you know, it's funny because he doesn't want to know anything, you know, before the fact. So you kind of give him a list. And, you know, I may have told this story last year, but last year he's like, I found a guy, this guy, special. He's like, I found a sleeper. I'm like, yes, Stout, he's going in the top 10. You know?
Do you agree with the premise that this draft is top heavy?
In terms of, like, in terms of, like, in the first day, second day, like, in terms of what's the premise?
Yeah, the first 2 days, and maybe even the first 2 rounds.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, people have come to me and kind of said internally and said there's kind of been some stuff talked about this draft. And I always say this, Jeff, you tell me who's going to be at our pick, and I'll tell you if the draft's deep or not. And so, like last year, we're sitting there and, you know, we're in the sixth and seventh round. And it's like, we were like, couldn't wait to get on the clock because of the players that we were enthusiastic about and that we drafted. And so, you know, I think the draft's depth is based on who's available to you at each of your picks. So I think it's going to be dependent on that. You know, when we're picking on the third day, if there's guys that we have third round grades for, it's a great draft for us, you know? So that's how I kind of view the draft. It's just who's available to us when we pick.
You made a few references about looking long term, looking at the future. You probably have more security than almost any GM in the league. You might not agree with that, but you do. You've been here since 2010. We know how Mr. Lurie feels about you and the job you've done. So what advantage does that give you to be able to think down the line, to be able to think long term when you're not sitting here thinking, I've got to do this now to save my job?
Yeah, Ruben, I would say this. I'd say my only goal is to win as much as I possibly can. And if I'm not good at that, I shouldn't be sitting in the seat. And so that's the only thing I think about. I think, how do I put this team in position? But I also feel like it's my job. I'm a caretaker in this franchise. I'm not going to be here forever. And I think it's my job to make sure that I leave this franchise in better place than when I got it. And to be honest, when I got it was in pretty good hands. And so everything that I'm trying to do is to make sure that the bottom doesn't fall out, that we're not in a position where we have to sustain, you know, a rebuilding time. We're always trying to retool. And how do you do that? You get out in front of problems. And so, you know, that's how I think about it. I feel like, you know, the way I think about things is like I'm not sitting here just wanting to compete in 2024. I want to do nothing other than win a world championship this year. Like, that's number one priority. But I also want us to put us in position to do it in 2025 and 2026 and 2027, you know. And, you know, if I'm not sitting here, I haven't done a good enough job. And so the reason that I've been planning on sitting here is because I plan on doing a good job and making sure this team has enough talent that our coaches are in a position to win every game.
How does this year compare, Howie, to past years in your confidence in being able to guess what's going to happen before your pick in the first round?
You know, there's always going to be something different that happens in front of you or behind you that you didn't anticipate. I feel really good about what the players are going to come off around, you know, the first 25 picks. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be some moment in the first round where I go, whoa. But I feel good about that. I think that when you're picking in the middle of the second round, there's probably a little bit more curveballs that come your way, but we will be prepared for it. We will go. We don't do many best outcome scenarios. You know, we work with this will be the worst case. And even in our worst case situation at 22 and 50 and 53, we'll be able to improve this football team.
Hal, you've spoken in the past about the pressures and the pluses and minuses of hometown players. This year, there's a lot of attention about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. It's a unique situation. Mm-hmm. How nuanced is that evaluation because of all that comes with the history of Jeremiah Trotter?
I'm biased towards our hometown players. I'm biased towards the people who have legacy with this franchise. So I think that's hard. And I think that's why, you know, when Coach talked about getting a lot of the information and trying to get myself out of that moment and, you know, just trying to make the best decision for the Philadelphia Eagles and not making an emotional decision. And so I think when you talk about any of the guys who are local, and we just talked about trading a guy who was local, it's hard not to want to keep guys who have Philly ties, who understand what it's like to play here, or to bring those guys in. And I do think it's a plus. It's a plus to bring someone in this atmosphere who understands what it's like. And this is the best atmosphere in the National Football League. And I think that, you know, they know that when you win, it's like nothing else that you experience that. But it's different for people who haven't experienced that before.
All right, you mentioned Mike. You mentioned Mike.
I'll get these two. And then I'll go back.
Okay. You mentioned liking the trades this time of year. How unique?
I actually like trades all times of year.
Well, there you go. How unique is this draft in terms of others, in terms of the apparent value of quarterback, receiver, tackle that might push some towards maybe the middle of the first round, but towards you're thinking of that space and even what trade value might be at 22?
Well, it's gone both ways. We've been in drafts where there's been great depth at a position and you feel like, all right, like you'll just sit there and wait. And all of a sudden the guys go really quickly and you sit there and you go, man, I thought this was going to be a great draft there. And there's not many left. And so I think you just have to be prepared, you know. And again, I say this because it's the truth. A lot of the scenarios are led by Jeffrey in this and putting us kind of to the test over the next couple of weeks. And so, when we're on the clock, it's just like coach going through his game plan. We'll be ready. We'll be ready for any scenario that comes in front of us. We'll be ready to make decisions on the clock, and we'll be ready to trade.
I was just going to ask about the uncertainty still kind of surrounding Isaiah Rodgers. Does that impact how you approach the draft, not knowing, or do you think you might know something in these next 7 days or so?
Well, it goes back to that we got to view the draft as what's best for the long-term version of the Philadelphia Eagles. If the long-term vision of our needs and our positional priorities is met with the short-term kind of impact, that's a beautiful thing. But at the end of the day, we're not going to stretch and reach on anything just because maybe there's a perceived need. I mean, we're still in April. We don't play our first game till September 6th. We're going to have a lot of opportunities to continue to improve this team. The talent acquisition season is not going to stop after the draft. We're going to continue to look. We're going to continue to try to get better and do whatever we can so that we're the last team standing.
Can I sneak one with Nick real quick?
What's that?
Can I sneak one with Nick real quick?
You want one?
Sure. Just I wanted your perspective on having two receivers now that are getting paid top-tier money and problems that could present, but also how you navigate that.
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Dave.
Your perspective on having two receivers who are both making top-tier money and how you navigate any potential problems that could...
I think at the end of the day, the problem, any problem that would happen is because, you know, there would be jealousy between one... But these two guys love each other. Like, I hate to say it. Like, I mean, these guys are connected. These two guys have a great relationship, and that's what you're trying to create for your entire football team. And it's a great example. Like, I feel like I'm able to use them a lot as far as the example of how teammates respond to each other. Like, Devontae is genuinely happy when AJ has a good game, and AJ is genuinely happy when Devontae has a good game, and they help each other get better throughout the week. Like, you know, I can think of just play after play where just the excitement that one guy is excited. Like, I see AJ, I see them celebrating after a play with the same handshake that Devontae used to use at Alabama with some of his closest friends. Like, it's so cool. Their relationship's really, really cool. And these guys, again, that's the best way I say it. These guys love each other, right? And that's a special bond that I know money that's not changing anything, right? Because these guys have grown and worked hard together, both continue to get better because of who they are as players, but also from the help of each other. You know, Devontae helping AJ get better and AJ helping Devontae get better. So it's a special relationship. And yeah, I can't be more excited to have those
Coach, do you want great players?
Yeah, we'll take them. Thank you.
This is just awful.
What are we doing here? We'll have our reactions to the press conference right after Jack here.
Yeah, well, listen, A lot of things suck. You know? I mean, not press conferences.
I got a list.
Yeah, we would never say that. But we can all agree that hackers suck the most.
The worst.
The
Have
worst.
You been through it? Stealing your identity, hacking into the worst.
And business owners know that hackers suck. Every single day, there are data breach attempts on Philly businesses. That's where Telesystem comes in. They keep your business connected and protected so Bedlam doesn't hit your bank account.
And then they find the hackers and show up on their front door.
That's exactly right.
Beat them senseless.
As you know,
I'm just listening.
As you know, Spike, IT is all about trust. Visit hackersuck.com for all your business's cybersecurity, networking, and communication needs. You can even register for Telesystem's HackerSuck Summit at the link May 15th at hackersuck.com.
All right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. New WIP Afternoon Show. I'm Spike Eskin along with Ike Reese and Jack Fritz. We just heard from Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. And here is my big picture, Ike. I want to get your big picture response to this. My big picture response is I did not quit that job up at WFAN to come down here and hear them do that for 25 minutes.
Well,
welcome back. Are we doing? What are we? Do we really need that for us, for our sports talk ecosystem? We got stuff to talk about.
Sure, sure.
Man.
Listen, and that's our what? That's our second one in the four-month time span. We had to do the at the end of the season.
Holy moly.
Yeah, we had to hear him at the combine.
They don't say anything.
They never do.
I hate to pull back the curtain on this, but they don't say anything.
Well, they think they're comedians.
Yo, Elliot's like, what should I ask him? I almost want to be like, who cares? Who cares what you ask him? Ask him something in a different language. What difference is it going to make? And the other thing, my other big reaction to this, and I couldn't see it. We're just listening to it. We're not watching it. Mm-hmm. But there is no way. God bless both of them. This is not meant as an insult to either guy. But there is no way that Howie isn't sitting there with his stomach turning with every word that comes out of Nick Sirianni's mouth. It has to be happening. It has to drive him crazy.
Well, he's certainly hoping that he doesn't say anything he shouldn't say.
He didn't even talk for the first 15 minutes of this thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have some questions for you.
Sure.
But do you have any big picture?
I do not.
Oh, shocker.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Listening to him talk about young players or drafting players to learn from older players.
Yeah.
I think people will... It's and here's why Howie is good at what he does,
yep.
And this is why he does the most talking
sure.
when they're out there together, because they know that there's a question out there about what the Eagles are going to do,
right.
How they're going to approach this draft, and would you take a lineman, or would you take this guy? He basically, what he described from a drafting a player and having them learn from a veteran player, you could say that for about 8 positions on this team. Not just the offensive lineman. I know the question was posed to him under the guidance of Lane Johnson and this and that and the other, and with the Jason Kelce transition to Cam Jurgens. But you mean to tell me you couldn't draft a young corner to learn behind Darius Slay and James Bradbury?
Sure.
Right? So you couldn't draft another young defensive end to learn behind Brandon Graham and some of the other guys. Like, you can do that with just about every position.
And not just position.
Not to cut you off, Spike.
No, yeah.
By the way, there isn't a veteran guard there for somebody to learn behind.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So yeah, that you just might have X'd out our entire show. We'll have a new topic when we come back. Well, I think the other thing that it does is it opens up the idea that whoever they take could be, at least in terms of what the other teams are thinking, mm-hmm. could be a project. Or could
right.
be a guy who's not ready. Because I'm sitting here thinking, it was funny you had that reaction to that. Because my first reaction when I'm thinking is, well, we're trying to win next year, aren't we? And isn't the first round pick, don't you expect him to contribute? But if he comes out and says, well, you know, it's a growth and could be 21 years old, then it not only opens your mind up as to what position they could take, it actually, even within that position, it sort of opens up who they could go after.
Yeah.
So the entire press conference was not for us. It was for other teams.
That is part of it, sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. He knows what he's saying. He's calculated in not giving up their plan, their game plan for this draft. So I listened to him. It's a word salad. It's a lot there. But I didn't really learn anything that I didn't necessarily already assume or presume.
Jack, did you get any drops from that whole thing? Anything?
Not really. I mean, they're a little too jokey in there.
Yeah, a little too happy.
They're obviously taking a guard, though. I mean, he literally did a minute and a half answer, as long as the answer I've ever heard from Howie in my life, about offensive linemen.
Like, yeah.
I leave that press conference thinking that guard is probably the most likely outcome.
And that's what he wanted you to believe.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I fall for things hook, line, and sinker.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, that's what he does. That's what he wants you to believe. Yeah, he's not showing his hand as to the players. Now, it's not. I don't think it's one player he's that targeted, but it's probably five guys they have a first-round grade on at a position and in that area.
215-592-9494. What did you think of Howie and Nick Sirianni? Do you want him to take a guard? Do you not want him to take a guard? The other thing that I thought was particularly interesting, and I think we both looked at each other when he did it, is how he got very prickly at the Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
That Hassan Reddick. And the way the question was posed, here's what I thought was interesting, is he clearly is hinting that there was something else going on there, mm-hmm. I thought. I'm just shocked that we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Do you know, especially because the move was not popular with, yep, the fan base. It was not popular with the media. Mm-hmm. Even when I tried to defend it, I ended up talking myself out of it when I did it. Here's a team that wants to win next year, a player who can help you win, who's on a contract. He has to play for you. And they traded him away for a third, maybe a second round pick. He got real prickly when he got asked about that. And I'm just surprised that we have not heard more about why that move happened.
Yeah. And I don't know if we ever will, because maybe it's not something that is obvious to everyone. I don't know if it's schematic. Does Vic Fangio not sort of see him as a fit in his scheme? You know, was the negotiations real contentious, and Hassan got to a point where he didn't want to budge on what he was looking for, so the Eagles decided to go ahead and move on. Is it part of what was going on last year in the locker room that they just didn't necessarily have the stomach to say, you know what, he's worth the trouble? If that's the case, you know, they tried to speak highly of him as far as character. But there's clearly something there that happened that they decided it was best for them to move on from Hassan Reddick. For a guy who was already under contract, who was a productive player coming off of last year, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's not like the Eagles have not had players, star players, starters, go into their last year of their contract and play on the last year of their deal. Like they've done it. They've done it with some of their legends. They've done it with. So it's not as if you have to get rid of a guy. If you want a guy here and you want to, he'll just play on the final year of his deal.
This is not like
Malcolm played on the final year of his deal. Like, guys play on the final year of your deal.
It's not like 20 years ago or 25 years ago when players used to sit out and not come to. They eventually show up.
Exactly.
They're few and far between to where they don't come to camp. The money, there's too much money.
Yep.
There's a big difference between sitting out for $1 million and sitting out for $15 million.
Totally agree.
So your call is next, 215-592-9494. Do you want them to go with guard? What did you think of the press conference? And next, my wife made a big change in her life that has a positive effect on my life.
Wife talk is back.
Wife talk. We'll talk about it next.
Been a while.
New afternoon. What? Sorry, Val. You're part of it. You signed the contract, too.
You're part of it, yep.
Next on the new WIP Afternoon Show.
Party all the time. Party all the time.
Ike went into break singing Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time. That happened. WIP Afternoon Show. I'm Spike Eskin along with Ike Reese. Jack
Who else
Fritz.
Is thinking about Party All the Time right now besides Ike? Does Eddie Murphy know he recorded this?
Dude, it was a hit.
There's no way this was a hit.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Dude, how do you guys literally prop up the 80s and 90s? Like, this is awful.
It's awesome. It's a moment in time.
Yep.
Come on, man. So coming up at 4, we'll have Elliot Shore Parks in to talk about the Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman press conference. Your calls in a moment, 215-592-9494. Right now, the Twitter poll brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. The question is, what would your reaction be if the Eagles take a guard with the 22nd pick? 56% annoyed, 44% happy. Now, speaking of happy, we'll get to this in a moment. I did say my wife made a big life change.
Mm-hmm.
After begging her for 5 or 6 years to get an iPhone, so A, when she texts me pictures, they come in full size or videos. B, even when I'm texting her so that it comes up blue instead of green, I begged.
Yeah.
She went through several Samsung Galaxies. She finally has an iPhone. I feel so comfortable. I can't believe I was married to somebody who was green bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She now, finally gave in.
Yeah. I judge people, unfortunately, by whether my text shows up blue or green.
Oh.
Do you have that?
So you're saying you basically judge people on whether or not they have an Android or
an iPhone. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not Mr. Apple guy or anything, but get with the
program.
Well,
you sound like it.
Come on.
You're an elitist.
Yeah. If you're going to send me a picture, I want it to be full size.
Well, also, I can't tell you a fake number or not. You know, like, basically, if it's green, I think this could be a landline.
Yeah.
I don't want to text a landline.
A landline.
Yeah. Come on. So
now I got to go back through all my text messages to see who all has a green button, because some of them are in there.
So you don't notice right away? I notice right away.
I do notice, but I always forget which is the iPhone versus
blue.
Well, how do you forget, though?
Because I've never cared.
Yeah, but I think you do.
Remembers.
I do think you do. I really do think you do care.
No, I don't care.
I think you do. You don't get the bubbles up with the green text messages. You get there's no warning it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, like the read receipt you can't leave on for people to know.
You don't read receipt, do you?
Oh, I leave read on, yeah.
What is that?
Oh, so people know if you read the text or not.
And then I don't respond.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you leave that on?
Yeah, I do.
How do you take that off?
I don't know.
It's in settings somewhere. You can't leave read receipt.
Well, I leave it on so they know that I did read it.
And you didn't respond.
Exactly. Right. It's called taking control back in the text message.
Power move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It also took her 8 hours to switch from her Android to her iPhone because she refused to delete the pictures off her phone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So she,
you're married to Cindy?
Well, that's the hard part. Yeah, that's the hard part, man. She got pictures and videos.
Well, they're on the cloud somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, she needs to have them on the phone. Whatever. Yeah. I love her, but what are we doing here? Yeah, I'm glad she has the
I'm
iPhone.
I'm glad you threw that in there.
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we know.
Even though she was an Android user.
Yeah. Well, she's new to this. She's never had, I have to get that in there because the whole thing, the talking about your wife on the radio, she hasn't gone through that.
Never had to experience that.
Right.
It can be a little.
I'm sure she just got text messages.
I mean, earlier in my career in doing this, I had to tell Renee, relax. Like, yeah, just.
It's fine.
Yeah, let me cook. Let me do what I do here on the rail.
Well,
yeah.
But Renee just started listening to the show a year ago.
No, stop. Not just a year ago. My point is that when she would hear somebody tell her about something I said on the air, which is usually what happens,
if
somebody will text her, Ike was on air talking about this, that, and the other. So, and sometimes when we story tell, the story is embellished a little bit sometimes. That's the fun part about storytelling.
That boy almost got a 10-incher.
That part is not embellished.
Chris in Middletown. I've never
Welcome
heard that
in,
one.
Buddy. Such Welcome in. Yep.
Yes, yes. Chris, yeah, he's back in his comfort zone. Yes.
Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP.
What a mess. What a mess. I'm walking into this show here. So, first of all, show name, again, mentioned it before, Spike, Ike, and Ball Boy Show. My favorite.
I like that. I don't mind that one.
Yeah. Spike, first of all, I got to get to some call business here with you. So, last time, you know, you came in with the rules. So, I think Ike and Jack will agree with me. You're not allowed to implement any rules for the callers, how it's supposed to go, until you appropriately learn to pause.
Well, let me tell you something, Chris. You already
Spike
broke the rule.
Spike has more to learn than the callers, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you already broke the rule, man.
Until you learn to pause, you know, I'm not going to follow any rules here. So, and here's another thing, too. So I want to put it out there. You know, I'm glad you're here.
Nah. You're going to follow the rules, buddy. Tom in Abington, you're on WIP.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
What's up, Tom?
I'm sorry. Hey, rules are rules.
Welcome home, Spike.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back to a real sports town. To hit the sports first, and don't cut me off at the end, Spike. I got important business.
Okay.
The end, but, man, when he started talking about Reddick, it just brought me back to Craig Carton.
Craig Carton? So Craig, what Craig said was that there was something within the locker room that couldn't, just for anyone who doesn't remember, Craig reported at a certain point, I don't know, a month ago, that something happened within the locker room that was unsolvable and that one Eagle would not be, would be traded or wouldn't be back or something to that effect. So that's what you're talking about, right?
Any group of men is what he said.
Right.
He did.
So, I mean, when do we get rid of a guy at this caliber, at this age? He's not old.
No.
So I keep going back to that, and I think that something happened between Reddick and Hurts, and it's unrepairable.
I don't know. I don't know, Tom. I understand, you know, our minds start to wander. Stuff gets reported. Craig said this a couple months ago. This is actually, it's ironic because it's actually what led up to the AJ situation. Yep. This all happened in that week. This happened. Craig said this on like a Tuesday or Wednesday.
It was a busy week.
Yeah, and it was a busy week. So this all led up to that. And so I don't know, maybe AJ got wind of all of this stuff being said, and then it irritated him. But to your point, Tom, that stuff is out there. I don't want to be irresponsible by adding on to that because I haven't heard anything, so I don't know.
That's the problem. Like, nobody's heard anything, and that leads us to speculate. So that's what I'm doing out here. I'm speculating. I got.
Oh, no, you're fine. You could do it. Yeah, AJ's not going to call you.
Well, you never know. He's got nothing to do.
Well, Tom's number is.
Yeah. You never know. What was the other thing you had, Tom?
Well, I just want to say, man, Spike, you're a little quick on the trigger finger there. Like Tom from Vancouver, man, you cut him off. I mean, his sports point might have been terrible, but, man, you got rid of him quick. But I will say this.
Yeah.
I do see this coming down the line. And be prepared for a lot of caller-on-caller crime with this show because that's like a staple.
Yep.
I am looking forward to the troll from Depper being cut off because his calls are so bad that no other show takes them. And he obviously got off the wrong foot with you.
Well, as far as what now, obviously, I want him to treat everybody on this show with respect. The caller on caller crime, if it happens, it happens. That's not my purview.
It's happening right now.
So yeah, right. You're doing it. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Thank you for the call, Tom. But as far as Andy going at me, he did that thing on the first show and has not done anything since. Yeah. So I think I'm good with Andy for now.
Yeah.
As far as having quick trigger finger, look, once your point is done, I love the callers. I want to be clear, and you know this. From when I was a kid with listening to Levi to now with all of our great callers, all of our regulars and our somewhat regulars and our non-regulars, I have an enormous respect for the WIP listener, for you, the caller, 100%. However, most of the good part of what you have to say is right at the very beginning, which is why I want you to put it there. And sometimes I will casually let you go in the not in the middle of a sentence, but as I'm about to answer.
Except for Herb.
Except for Herb. You told me that.
Yeah. Well, because that'll be interesting the first time you two have a conversation with each other.
Yeah, real conversation. Real deep. Yeah. We got to do that beginning of a segment so we have the whole segment to... Mark Sledgehammer, am I supposed to introduce
him? Sledgehammer,
okay.
Yes.
Mark the Sledgehammer. Mark the Sledgehammer, you're on WIP.
Ike and Spike and a Sprit to Fritz. What's up, Spike? Welcome back home.
Sledgehammer, what's happening, brother?
Not much, Ike. How you been?
Been okay, man. Long time no hear.
I know, it's been a while. But real quick, 2 seconds. I'm going trout fishing because we obviously need help out in the outfield. And then on to the Eagles. First three rounds, I want defense. I mean, we got plenty of offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. We need to build up that defense. Like, if 22nd pick is too early for Trot Jr., I definitely want him somewhere in the second or third round. First round, I want that cornerback everyone's been talking about who can play corner, safety, and special teams. I mean, that's a pretty versatile player, if you ask me, to be able to pick up that early.
Well, special teams aren't that important.
I don't know. What do you think, Ike? Special teams are important?
Hey, only the field goal kickers.
But no, I mean,
that's where our game is at now, Mark. Yeah, they've only made the field goal kickers important now.
But no, I mean, you know, to have a player that versatile and you can pick him up that early, and we need all the help we can get in the secondary.
Yep.
I mean, he's a very good target to pick up for the first round. And then, like I said, somewhere along the way, I want Trott Jr. Because if he's anything like his father, that's going to be something scary in the middle of that defense that, you know, quarterbacks aren't going to want to go to.
Yeah, and I still wouldn't rule out the Eagles drafting a linebacker, because here's the thing. Unless they plan on re-signing Devin White, if he has a breakout year, if he has a bounce back year, and they're going to give him big money, he's going to be gone after this one season.
Well, that's the plus and the minus of these 1 year deals. Yep. The plus is you're not on the hook if they're no good. The minus is you're
going to be faced with that decision as to whether or not
keep
re-sign
him. Or not
him.
Keep
yeah.
him. Yeah.
Yep.
So hey, Mark, is the sledgehammer thing? Is that a DeCamera? Is it a thing I shouldn't ask about, or
it's the camera thing, because he calls himself the hammer. So
I kind of
got inducted with the sledgehammer thing, because I was always anti-hammer, trying to pick on him and stuff. So
fair
you
enough.
Know, it just kind of grew.
Fair enough. Yep. Fair enough. So we've been talking about Howie's comment about Hassan Reddick, and we will get to that right after this from Jack.
Well, listen, Phil's back in action tonight.
Yeah,
and you can get tickets. Last-minute tickets.
Really?
On the Game Time app.
Oh, come on.
You've heard me talk about the Game Time app.
I have.
It is an amazing place to go and get tickets for the ball game. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball that's made it faster and easier to get to the ballpark than ever before. With Game Time's all-in pricing, you can see the total cost of your tickets up front, so there's no surprise fees at checkout. Go on the app to see a panoramic view from your seat so you know exactly what you're buying. Plus, if you think...
That's a good feature, by the way.
It is a great feature. You don't know where you're sitting.
Yeah, you don't just see the location. You actually see what you're looking at.
That's
great
right.
Feature.
Yep. And if you're thinking about heading down to the ball game tonight, Game Time has incredible last-minute deals. You can check out the Game Time app, and prices go down the closer it gets to first pitch. So get to the Game Time app, and if you want to get down to the ball game, of course. And you can feel secure in your purchase thanks to their lowest price guarantee and Game Time ticket coverage, the most flexible customer service policy in the industry. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code FRITZ for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FRITZ for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Coming up at 4:00-ish, Elliot Shore Parks will be here. We'll get to get his reaction to that tedious press conference with Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. Your calls in a second, 215-592-9494. But before that, we were talking about Howie getting a little prickly at a Hassan Reddick question in the press conference, and this is what happened.
Follow up on Hassan, you referred to it as bittersweet and a win-win. What do you think the upside is for trading Hassan for the conditional pick a couple of years down the line?
Well, the pick's not conditional. We're getting a pick, so I don't really think I understand the question.
It's a third round from a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what do you think the upside is for trading Hassan with a year left in his deal in his prime for the pick that he's got?
Well, I think you're asking a question in a vacuum without all the other factors. So, I mean, if we want to talk about all the factors that go into building the team and the resources that we put into each position, we can do that. But I don't think the question's really fair and accurately describes the transaction.
Can I say something? First of all, it was a fair question. It was a totally normal question. I can't stand when a coach or a general manager berates a media member with a normal question because they don't know how to answer it. It was clear that Howie didn't know a politically correct way to answer the question, did not expect a Hassan Reddick question. It is a conditional draft pick. It's literally a conditional draft pick. And if you're saying he's asking the question in a vacuum, well, if there are other circumstances around the trade, how is the reporter supposed to know if you do not tell him?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like if you don't want
to... I thought it was a...
innocuous question.
Yeah.
if you don't want to answer it, if there are things behind closed doors mm-hmm. that go into a decision that you don't want to answer, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to answer anything. But I do get a little irritated when you try to make the guy sound like dumb or like he's trying to trick you or trap you. There was nothing. Saying what is the upside of trading Hassan Reddick for a draft pick is an easy question to answer if you feel like answering it. in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the report, and I'm not sure who it was, just basically asked what is the upside of trading Hassan in the prime of his career
for a
conditional draft pick. Like,
which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Come on, Ike. That was the bulldog URAM.
Yeah. Was that URAM?
Yeah, it was bulldog.
Oh, I didn't even know that was URAM.
See, and how are you treating URAM like that? What are we doing?
That's how we treat him here, though.
Justice for URAM.
I mean, that's when we see him, we do the same thing.
Well, so. We've known him for years.
Not me. I don't do that.
No, no, no. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Everyone else. Angelo.
Yeah, I don't do that to URAM.
Yeah, I wouldn't, actually. Yeah, exactly. It's actually that's not a bad decision.
You see, I wanted to make sure I distance myself from Jack with that nonsense.
Yeah.
But you told me the other day about it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Ziggy and Lehigh, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so listen, since Jack had his son, he's kind of fallen a few rungs, so to speak, at home. And he's been very, very stressed about a lot of things. And he just needs
unwound your butt cheeks.
Identity. So can't you please, Godfather, grant me this one wish and make Jack part of the title of the show somehow?
Thank you, Ziggy.
Help him out. Yeah, no problem. Listen, also, I just want to ask you one question.
Yeah.
Why are you willing to ruin your show on the first day by insisting we don't need defense? We need to trade up to the best cornerback that there is. I don't care.
Not going
to
work.
I don't want to hear anything else. No.
Not going to work.
No, we need a guy that's going to be around for 10 years.
Sign one.
We need one somehow. Yeah, okay, fine, sure. Yeah, we got too many picks anyway. We can't. How many picks do we have, 11 or something? We're not going to put that many guys on the roster. So, yeah, trade some away, whatever. But we need a lockdown cover. We've got to have that.
Honestly, thank you for the call, Ziggy. I would rather, if you gave me a choice between a guy who wrecks the line of scrimmage on defense and a cornerback, I will take the guy who causes havoc every time. The guy that getting pressure on the quarterback makes cornerbacks look better. And I'd be terrified of taking a cornerback in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it never
works.
Primarily
because you don't believe in the Eagles could pick one.
Either that, well, unfortunately, all I do is ever look at the Eagles. So I don't know if the hit rate on cornerbacks in the first round is generally lower than other positions. I just feel like here.
Right.
Well,
we haven't taken one since Lito.
Well, and the second round we had.
2001.
What's his name?
Sidney Jones.
Sidney Jones. I always forget his name. Sidney Jones didn't. I don't know.
Conklin's best works, though.
Sidney Jones?
The Sidney Jones song.
Sidney Jones song, yeah.
He didn't recover after that.
Would you?
I don't know if he would ever recover. Did he recover before that?
Did he play after here?
Yeah, he went to
Seattle.
Was it Seattle?
I thought
it was Jacksonville. No, I think you might be right. Seattle.
He did both.
Would you be? How confident would you be in them taking a cornerback in the first round to contribute this year?
On a scale of 1 to 10, yeah. I would go with a 7.
With 10 being the most confident?
Yeah,
that's pretty confident.
Yeah, I look at the corners and I say. Now, guys may turn out and be bust. I can't fault the Eagles for drafting a guy that is projected to go where the Eagles select him because other teams have him rated that high as well. I fault the Eagles when they overdraft the guy, when they try to prove they're the smartest people in the room and you take a guy from a school that nobody had watched play or this and that and the other instead of taking the obvious guy there. You take the obvious guy and he doesn't pan out. That's less on them, and it's more on the player, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because sometimes you can do all the measurables, you can do all those things, watch the film, and you say, well, this guy's a quality player. We can take him. We can use him. And then if he comes in, he doesn't have the work ethic or whatever. I don't necessarily fault the Eagles on those situations. I don't blame the Eagles for taking Derek Barnett. They took Derek Barnett where a lot of teams thought Derek Barnett would go.
Right? He wasn't a reach.
Yeah, he wasn't a reach. Now, Marcus Smith, that's different. Danny Watkins, that's different.
Yeah.
Right? Andre Dillard, really we blame when we fought the Eagles. Obviously, he turned out to be a bad player. But they hadn't met with him prior to drafting him.
And one of the things that was questionable about Andre Dillard was – how much he wanted to be out there.
Play, yes.
Play hurt, all those sorts of things. And if you don't meet with him, that's a harder thing to ascertain.
How do you vet those things? So, yeah, so they get blamed for that. So it depends on what corner it is. So I'll give you an example. If they were to take Cooper DeJean or Nate Wiggins there with that pick, I would be happy with the pick. But if the player turns out to be a bust, I'm more upset at the player than I am the Eagles for taking that player. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. So coming up next, the one, the only, Elliot Shore Parks has come up here from the NovaCare facility. So
he got all the answers he needed.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I heard two questions from Elliot.
He led out the press conference today.
He did.
Yeah.
Howard style.
That says something.
Yeah.
What does it say? Did they respect him?
They knew he wasn't going to ask a hard question.
Wow!
We will get Elliot's
reaction. The Schwarber of leadoff questions. Wow!
Wow! You're saying he's an easy mark for
Elio.
Oh my God! Elliot, next. Oh no! New afternoon show on WIP.